Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, do you feel uplifted this morning? I want to give a special thanks to Rick and all the work that he's doing, setting everything up and doing tons of maintenance work around here, especially in the church building. And we're so grateful for what he does. Amen. Those of you that get the devotional letters or listen to our Facebook page will know that we've started in the book of Genesis. And I want to continue in Genesis chapter 8 at the end and get into chapter 9 a little bit. If you look at verse 21, chapter 8, well, let's read verse 20. Now, Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. When he's referring to clean animals, he's referring to those animals that were acceptable to be sacrificed. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. Never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease." Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat that of its life blood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each man too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. And as for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it." God made an unconditional covenant, which is an agreement, with Noah and his three sons. "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." Notice that. Every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. Now, what age that evil begins, we do not know in the human heart. I believe from Scripture that babies die, they all go to heaven. But there's a certain time in a child's life that God says every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. That's quite an indictment of the human race, isn't it? And the human heart. The evil heart that God is referring to is not the organ that pumps blood throughout our body. But the heart the Bible is talking about are the desires and the emotions and the inner spiritual fabric of our very being. Before the great flood, and every culture in the entire world believes there was one, and God said there was, and so did Jesus, who is God. Before that great flood, in Genesis 6:5, it says, every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. He's talking about the human beings on the earth before the flood. Amen? But after the flood, when millions upon millions of people were wiped out from the face of the earth, only 8 people that were left, Noah and his relatives, God says the heart is evil from childhood. John chapter 2, verse 24, 25, John said, Jesus knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. What's he talking about? An evil heart. Jesus again points out the fallen condition of our hearts, Mark 7:21 through 23. From within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. We're all sinners, amen? Now, we may not understand the motives of our hearts, but God does. Because God knows everything, amen? Don't hear any horns. Okay. At least, I can't see if you're nodding off in the behind those windshields or not. Psalm 44:21 says, God knows the secrets of the heart. God has infinite knowledge of the heart of man. That's scary. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our thoughts, our minds. Jeremiah 17:10, he said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. You ever felt like the Christian life is a test? How you doing? Are you passing the test? I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. We're going to be rewarded for being faithful to God. You're being faithful to God by being here this morning. I thank God for you. He's here with us. Now, mankind's biggest problem is not external, but internal. All of us, the Bible says, from childhood, whatever that age is, only he knows, we have a heart problem. So it's the heart of man that must be changed. This can only happen by the power of God in response to putting our faith in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. Romans chapter 10:10 says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. See, we can see, even though we're sinners, God doesn't see our sin. He sees us righteous. You got to remember that when you start beating yourself up when you fail. God knows what we're like. He understands us. He's compassionate. He's merciful. He's forgiving. We got to remember those things. We tend to beat ourselves up. We're not perfect. Never will be. But God sees us as perfect. Thank God. Only by God's grace can He save us. Only by God's grace can He create in us a new heart. Turn from a stony heart to a heart of flesh. And then over a period of time, He's in the process of molding us into the image of His Son, due to the fact that the Holy Spirit is living within us. Isaiah 64:8 says, you, Lord, are our Father. I don't know what kind of father you may have had. He may not have been a loving father. Some of you were fortunate enough to have a loving father with all their faults. But Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit are one, and they love us. We are His children. He's our Father. You, Lord, our Father, we are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of Your hand. Without Him, we'd still be lost in trespasses and sins. Without Him, we'd be spiritually ignorant. But we saw the light. I love that song. Was it Hank Williams? Spike? I saw the light. We got to do that one as a special. I love that one. If you know anything about Hank Williams, he had a lot of problems with alcohol. It probably killed him. But he was saved. He saw the light. He saw the light. Psalm 51:10, it says, create in me a clean heart. See, these things don't come naturally to us. It has to be a work of the Lord that does it. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So God's work of creating a new heart involves us as well. We have to do our part. Which is what? We have to fill our minds with this. Every day. If we don't, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. And some people fall away completely. May that never happen to us, but it's possible. Take heed lest you fall. So don't think you've made it yet. We haven't. Far from it. Amen? But one day we will. One day we're going to make it. The second we take the last breath, we're going to be just like the Lord in heaven. Just like Him. Without sin. Oh, what a day that will be. Some relative of mine said, well, I think her husband passed away a couple of years ago, and I hope he's up there smiling down on me. I said, sister, he's got a permanent smile on his face. All the time. because he's in the presence of Jesus. And so will we be one day. All our troubles will be over. Hallelujah. So we have to fill our minds with the Word of God every day and put it into practice. Not through our own efforts, but with the aid of the Holy Spirit. These things do not come naturally to us, but supernaturally, by receiving Jesus as our personal Savior. The heart and the core of our being, the Bible warns us to be careful, Proverbs 4:23, about our heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. How's your heart this morning? Without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, man's heart can never be changed, or the character of man reformed, no matter how good they may think they are, or how many good works that they do. Doesn't change the heart. God looks on the heart, not on the outward appearance. It's the heart of mankind that needs to be changed. Now, because of the flood, the great flood, everything about this planet changed, except the heart of mankind. Before the flood happened, God knew that millions of people would perish when it came. So, being a compassionate, merciful, and a God who loves people, he gave the population of the world at that time the opportunity to turn from their wickedness to him, to receive forgiveness of sins. So Noah, apart from being a shipbuilder, was a preacher of righteousness. So while he was in the process of building that ark, and I'm sure he had some problems, maybe he paid people to help him, you know, the sinners that were surrounding him. For 120 years it took to build that thing. He was preaching to sinners to turn from their wicked ways to God for forgiveness. But we know, still, you could preach till you're blue in the face and some people are never going to change. Their hearts didn't change. And the hearts of man still hasn't changed. But Jesus can change their hearts. He changed ours, didn't he? If he can save me, he can save anyone. And you too. So, we read again. God says, never will I destroy all living creatures as long as the earth endures. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat of summer, and winter days and nights will never cease. Like I said before, because of the flood, everything changed. And this verse is the first reference to the changing seasons that we have now. Before the flood came, it didn't even rain. Wasn't necessary. There wasn't even a cloud in the sky. Noah didn't even know what one of those was. None of the people on the earth knew what a cloud was because there wasn't any. It never rained. It was a perfect climate all year round. It's God that established the changing seasons after the flood. But we know from Scripture, he's going to judge the earth He's going to pour out his wrath upon it during the tribulation period that Jesus quotes in Luke 21. You can read it. Also Matthew 24:21, which we've looked at in our studies, if you read and listen to the devotionals. Let me remind us about this tribulation. Now, if you think this has happened before, you're dead wrong. It's something that's going to happen in the future. Yes, he talks about the destruction of Israel in AD 70, but he's also talking beyond that to future events. This is what Jesus says. For then there will be great distress, unequaled, get that word, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Immediately after the distress of those days, now you tell me if this has happened before. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. This is yet to happen, Jesus said. He's talking about the great tribulation, the wrath of God that's going to be poured out on planet Earth. But there's good news for those that are here. This could happen at any time. But if you're saved, we're going to be taken out, which I've also gone into in great detail in the devotionals. Those of us that are saved and alive when the Lord returns will be taken out and be safe. He's not suffered his holy ones to go through the wrath. Listen again to see what Jesus says in Matthew 24:36-41. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father. As it was in the days of Noah. Now, if Jesus believed in a flood, then we better believe there was a flood. But it's amazing how many people don't believe it, even so-called professing Christians. Believe the word. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Amen? As in the days of Noah, Jesus said, believe him if you don't believe me. Don't see why you shouldn't. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. It's astonishing that people don't believe in a rapture. Yes, that word is not in the Bible, but neither is the word Trinity. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. This is what Jesus said. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Don't be left behind. If you're saved, you won't be. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Those that are left will miss the rapture. They'll go through the tribulation period. But as we've studied before, God being merciful, he's going to raise up 144, no, not Jehovah's Witnesses, unless they're 144,000 Jews and they're redeemed. They're going to preach the gospel to every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. God giving them the opportunity, the unsaved, to receive him as Savior. That is the mercy of God. But there's still people still going to have a stony heart, and they're going to sooner have the rocks fall upon them than to receive Jesus. is their personal Savior. And there's going to be thousands upon thousands of Jews will acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah and come to know Him as personal Savior. The tribulation period is referred to as Jacob's trouble. The whole of the New Old Testament refers to it, and Jesus confirms it in the New Testament, and also the Apostle Paul and John. So I don't understand why people just don't get it, but they don't. But like the great theologian, Bible scholar, J. Vernon McGee says, you know, if you're a Christian and you don't want to be raptured, why don't you just ask God for you to go through the tribulation period if you don't believe it? He said that, I didn't. So you can blame him. Now, Genesis 9:1 says, God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase or multiply in number and fill the earth. Obviously, those eight people that survived the flood needed to follow this command because of the millions of people that were wiped out. So from Noah's family would come the beginning of the new world population. From these eight people, these were our ancestors. So we're all related. We're all related. So there's no need for racial prejudice, because all the people on the earth started from this group of people. We're all related. See, God looks on the heart. He doesn't look upon the color of a man's skin. Jesus wasn't a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Well, he was a Protestant. But he was a Jew. You're going to be surprised when we see him. Oh, that's how he looks. I thought he had red hair and blue eyes and white skin. No. Are you still with me so far? I'm almost finished. Now, after the flood, Noah and his family found themselves living in a new dispensation of time. A new time period, referred to as dispensations. You look at the Bible, starting from Genesis 1:1, right to the end of Revelation. There is periods of time called dispensations where God deals with mankind. So now they found themselves in a new dispensation, a new period of time. Everything would change. For example, before the flood came, all living creatures, humans and the animals, they coexisted together. They coexisted together. Before the flood, there were no carnivorous creatures on planet Earth. That includes humans. Listen to Genesis 2:9. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow. Not just these kind of trees, fruit trees and etc. that provided food of all kinds. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. This is before the flood. But after the flood, God said, everything would change, which it did. Genesis 9:2, the fear and dread of you will fall upon the beasts of the earth. This had never happened before. Like I said, they all coexisted together. All the birds of the air, every creature that moves along the ground, upon all the fish of the sea, they are given into your hands. And everything that lives and moves will be food for you. So there's a new dispensation. Things have changed now. Notice the vegetarian diet before the flood. Listen. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything, God said. I will give you these animals for food. So after the flood, many species, including human beings, could and would eat meat. And you can't beat a good sirloin steak or filet mignon, lovely. Or a pork chop, lovely, fantastic. We're carnivorous. And if you don't eat meat, you still have the capacity to eat meat. God said, that's okay. But, he said, there's a proviso. If you're going to eat meat, he said, you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. Now, this command would eventually make its way into the law of Moses and the nation of Israel to drain the blood from the meat before they eat it. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life, what happens if you get into an accident and you don't have a blood transfusion? You die. Why? Because the life is in the blood. Again, for the life of a creature is in the blood. And I have given it to you, the creature's life, which is in the blood, to make atonement for yourselves. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. What atonement? It's got three syllables. At-one-ment. Atonement means covering the sins committed by sinners against the holy God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Making atonement is satisfying God for an offense committed, putting things right by the means of a blood sacrifice. A sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, is defined as an offering up of something precious that is alive. In other words, those who are covered by a blood sacrifice are set free from the consequences of their ungodly actions. So when God sees the blood, he overlooks our sins. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is a picture of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, who shed his own blood, his own pure blood on the cross to bring us to God in order to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Blood, as some of you know, especially you medical people, has a cleansing ability in our physical bodies. It literally carries waste products from the bloodstream and eventually out of the body. It's eliminated out of the body. Likewise, Jesus has flushed our sins away. Only the sacrificial work of a perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his shedding of his unpolluted blood on Calvary's cross can wash away our sins. We are purified from the pollution of sin. He's the only one that can give us a new heart. And I hope for our sakes that he's done that. Let me close with a brief verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." One day, we shall see God. Not because we deserve it, because Jesus loves you and he died for us, so we wouldn't have to pay the penalty for the things that we've done wrong. Amen? Amen. Thank you. God bless you all. And stay safe. And hopefully, Lord willing, we can do this again next week. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for each one that's come out. We thank you for the ones that are listening to this message by radio, by internet, CD, whatever the case may be. And they're not sure that when they die, that they will go to heaven. Well, they can be certain, as long as they receive you, the one who paid the penalty for their sins. Friends, God loves you. Jesus loves you so much that he died for you on a cross and shed his blood. Believe in your heart that he did that for you, that he was buried, but he rose again from the dead. Believe it in your heart and receive him as your Savior. And you too will be given a new heart and a home in heaven when you leave this world, and a reason to live in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.